Hi, I'm Jarrett. Welcome to Fantai, the podcast for all those complex and complicated conversations about the gray areas in our lives. I am Jarrett Hill.
And I am Travell Anderson, but you can call me Beyonce. It's totally fine.
You shouldn't do that. Can you imagine if she had your voice? Your speaking voice, but her singing voice?
It would be amazing, wasn't it?
It wouldn't be.
Anyway, coming up on the show today, I know we told y'all last week that we were going to tackle British black actors, but, you know, y'all started acting up on the internets this week.
Listen.
And so we're getting into all things that are Kobe Bryant and Gayle King and how sensitive you all are and why y'all all trying to get Gayle King fired and calling her out her name. That is our fan tie for the week.
Yeah, we had to have a meeting. I called Travell and I said, so listen, I think we have to make a change this week because of this. Then we had to call Laura. Laura was really upset about it. Really fought me.
But she was like, we had a plan. We had an editorial calendar, guys.
Or she said, yeah, good idea. So we're going to talk about that. But before we get into all that, we're going to pass our popcorn. And this week, Pass the Popcorn is our section of the show where we're dedicating to something the internet is talking about. This week, it's going to be a small bag of popcorn. We're not going for, like, the jumbo size that you get the free refill. It's going to be a little one because, you know, those are too expensive as it is. We're going to talk about the Oscars from over the weekend, and they don't deserve too much because I don't have a whole lot of feelings about it. They were just, like, a short list of things that even mattered.
Yes.
So, Travell, why don't you give us, like, a quick 60-second rundown of the things that mattered and the things that didn't. I'll moan or groan.
Okay, so this is like a special edition past the popcorn. An amuse-bouche, if you will.
An amuse-bouche.
Listen, girl, she's got culture over
Honey,
here.
Honey, a sample of platter.
Yes, yes. A charcuterie board.
Oh, now I want cheese
sticks. Okay, all right. So, some quick highs from the Oscars, Cynthia Erivo's dress.
Oh.
Everything.
Served it, yeah.
Did what she needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Janelle Monáe and Billy Porter opening the show. We love to see black queer excellence shining.
Yes.
Okay? We love to see it.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to get to his outfit.
Yeah, okay.
It's coming in the lows.
Loved Janelle. I thought she was such an unexpected choice.
Yes.
Did not see that coming.
At all.
Yeah.
Parasite winning Best Picture, becoming the first non-English picture to win.
I love that they won
really
on a year where we were so annoyed with all the white people being nominated and no people of color. And then not only was it an Asian American film, but it wasn't even in English.
Right. Well, it wasn't even Asian American. It was South Korean.
It was Korean. Yes, you're right.
It was Korean.
We love to see it.
Really wonderful. Now, some quick lows for the show. What the hell was Billy Porter thinking in that
Listen,
outfit?
Listen, what wasn't he thinking?
Obvious nothing.
I saw the photograph, and I texted you immediately, and I was like, what is this? And you said, what did you say? It was the chop.
It was a chop of the highest order.
Of the highest order.
It wasn't it.
I'm into gender bending, but like the fashion at least has to be
good. It has to be on point.
Come
and
on.
I say that as a gender bender. Second low, I have to say, while it was great to have Janelle Monáe and Billy Porter open the show with that wonderful musical rendition situation, it would be really great if the industry at large was just interested in like uplifting black queer people, black queer actors, black trans folks, and our films just as much as they want us to perform for them.
Mm.
Just saying.
Cynthia Erivo
really
felt
cute.
The same way about the bath.
Well,
as we talked about last week.
Yes, as we talked about last week. And last but not least, I have to give a low to, I called it that United Nations-ass performance of that Frozen 2 song that Idina Menzel performed. It just was like, the show was trying really hard to find diversity, even though it wasn't among the nominees.
And this was a low for you.
It was a low.
Okay.
Why don't you just nominate people of diverse background? Like, if it felt performative to me.
Interesting.
Instead of, like, a celebration of this song from all over the place. Also, there wasn't no black people. They don't got Frozen in Africa.
Listen,
they didn't have a Nigerian version.
Too close to the
equator. A Zimbabwean version.
Well, no, because I was watching it with my friend Ryan, and when the German singer came up, he was like, he wasn't understanding what she was saying. He was like, she sounds like she's cussing. They might need to bleep her. I was like, oh my God. No, I appreciated what they tried to do because like it's not on the producers, right? It's on the Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And so the producers were like, well, we gotta really, you know, we got to diversify this whole joint. But it was not great, and the ratings reflected that.
Well, that's because the more we know based on the numbers, this is becoming a lot longer than 60 seconds, like you told me. But I don't follow the rules anyway, so here we are. Wow. But what we know in terms of the ratings of the Oscars is, like, when the nominees are more diverse, the ratings are higher.
And when there's a bigger blockbuster of a movie as well.
Well, that too, yes.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break and let you hear about other shows on Maximum Fun. And when we come back, we're going to undoubtedly piss some people off.
Very much so.
So if that ain't it too, I don't know what is.
Hey everyone, Alden Ford here with the cast of Mission to Zix.
Hello.
Our fourth season premieres on February 19th, and for those of you who aren't familiar with the show, we decided to ask one of our characters to give you a quick recap of what's happened so far. Say hello to the clone trooper, AJ.
Who are you people? What's happening?
Okay, AJ, put your gun down. AJ, can you just tell us what's happened in the Zix Quadrant in the last couple seasons?
Oh, well, we destroyed the Emperor.
Oh, really? Okay, great.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. We knocked him into a chasm. Mr. Robot Manabarchi's ship crashed through a window, and Dar and Baby Horsehead and I took out, like, a bunch of bad guys. Papa fulfilled his destiny, and the lizard was there, too.
Okay, great. I guess I was sort of asking what the show is like.
Oh, you mean, like, it's an improvised, serialized workplace space opera featuring brilliant sound design, incredible guest stars, and an epic, hilarious tale of Fresh versus Whack?
Oh, yeah, wow. Where did you come up with that?
Jesse Thorne told me to write that on my palm.
Okay, all right. Well, Mission to Zix Season 4 debuts on February 19th on Maximum Fun. Check it out.
Welcome back to Fantai, y'all. It's Travelle on the ones and twos. We've got Jared on the threes and the fours. We wrote that into the script, y'all, and he got mad at me when I wrote it. And so
let's have a conversation about pronouns. We did not write shit. You wrote that down because you were not a DJ.
Whatever. Jared's on the ones and the threes and the fours.
See, it don't even make sense to you.
Whatever. Anyway, we're going to get into our Fantai this week, which is a very, very big one. It's a loaded one. It's a heavy one. We know, but we're doing it. So we're going to talk about all of the drama surrounding Kobe's death, the Gayle King interview with Lisa Leslie, and the blowback that she's been receiving from all of you trash folks online.
Baby.
We're also going to get into kind of the unique type of sensitivity that Black people specifically seem to have around this whole topic, as well as some other related issues. There's a lot to unpack here. Where do you think we should start?
Well, I think it's important to kind of highlight, like, what exactly the inciting incident was, right? Obviously, Kobe Bryant passed away almost 2 weeks ago in this tragic helicopter accident that really kind of shook everybody.
Yes.
And even people who are not sports fanatics like myself were really just kind of shook. Like, I did not see this coming. There was no way to prepare for this. And, like, I did not know that I would feel so much about it when it happened because I'm not a basketball fan. I've known Kobe Bryant, you know, his name at least, since he took Brandy to prom. Like, that's
how
I knew
throwback.
Him. You know what I mean? Like, that's the first time I remember hearing his name.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, high school guy is going to the NBA. And I was like, oh, and he's cute. So, you know, but Kobe's had a storied history, obviously. Mm-hmm. In 2003, there was a story about an alleged sexual assault. A young lady at the hotel that he was at in Denver, Colorado. He was, I believe, staying at this hotel to have knee surgery. The day before, you know, the young lady had come to his room. Some things occurred. She later, the next day, he went to knee surgery, and she went to the police and said that she had been raped.
Yes.
Or sexually assaulted. And so this, you know, became a major story over the course of that year into 2004, where the case was later settled. She decided that she did not want to testify, which was the reason that that case was dismissed. There was a settlement that came from a civil suit later.
Yes.
And one of the major things that I've heard a lot of people mention in this case was the fact that she went and had a rape kit done. And within the 15 hours between the event with Kobe and her, and her going to file this rape kit, that there was another man's semen in the rape kit, which raised a lot of flags for people that felt like, you know, whatever that meant to them, that was a reason that they didn't believe her anymore, whether that feeling is valid or not. There were various little things about this. So when he passed away, the conversation amongst a lot of folks within media, we had this conversation on the show that I worked on, and you and I were debating whether or not we talk about it last week or not, mm-hmm. was at what point is it okay to discuss this incident happening in 2003? Right.
So we should say like the either the night of or the day after. I mentioned this in my dishonorable mentions last week. Mm-hmm. There was a reporter with the Washington Post who she tweeted out a Daily Beast story that was about this this case. She just tweeted out the story, and she was suspended by the Washington Post for what they eventually said was like just like inappropriate, yeah. you know, inappropriate timing and a violation of their social media policy, basically. Right. And so she tweeted out that she began getting a lot of like death threats about it. But what we see is that it's kind of like spiraled in terms of other people also bringing up
sure.
that case in terms of how we remember right. Kobe Bryant.
So this past week, Gayle King did an interview with Lisa Leslie. That interview was for the sole purpose of discussing his legacy and like all of the great that he'd done, the things that were not so great, talking about his arrogance, talking about like all of these different things, because Lisa Leslie had a close relationship with Kobe Bryant, and Lisa Leslie and Gayle King have a good relationship.
Yes.
And so throughout that interview, as Gayle will remind us, it was a wide ranging interview
yes.
about many different things. And Gayle in this interview, I want to indicate here, Gayle only asks two questions mm-hmm. and makes two statements in the mm-hmm. entire, you know, interview, in the entire course of just this moment that went viral. We're going to play the entire clip. It's a minute and a half long, so this is a bit of a longer clip than we would normally play, but it's important that you have all of this context.
It's been said that his legacy is complicated because of a sexual assault charge, which was dismissed in 2003, 2004. Is it complicated for you as a woman, as a WNBA player?
It's not complicated for me at all. Even if there's a few times that we've been at a club at the same time, Kobe's not the kind of guy, never been like, you know, Lisa, go get that girl or tell her or send her this. Mm-hmm. I have other NBA friends that are like that. Mm-hmm. Kobe's, he was never like that. I just never have ever seen him being the kind of person that would be do something to violate a woman or be aggressive in that way. That's just not the person that I know.
But Lisa, you wouldn't see it though. As his friend, you wouldn't see it.
And that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't believe that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying things didn't yeah. happen. Mm-hmm. I just don't believe that things didn't happen with force.
Is it even a fair question to talk about it considering he's no longer with us and that it was resolved? Or is it really part of his history?
I think that the media should be more respectful at this time. It's like if you had questions about it, you've had many years to ask him that. I don't think it's something that we should keep hanging over his legacy. I mean, it went to trial.
Yeah, but the case was dismissed because the victim in the case refused to testify.
So that is the entire clip that went out on social media after the interview yeah. had run on television. And
I think there's a little bit left of it where Lisa Leslie says that I think like the media should, you know, like it wasn't the right time, and that yeah. the media, because the case was dismissed, that's where the media should leave it as
right.
well. Something like that.
So I saw this clip and I thought, ooh, that's a tough thing to have to do. But I didn't think it was like some ridiculous interview where Gayle King had overstepped her bounds and all of this stuff.
I didn't even think that it was whatever the words you just used. I didn't even think I saw it and I was like, oh, okay, cool, moving on. Well, I should also say, you said that you, I guess, had been like a general fan of Kobe in some shape or form.
I mean, at the very least, like I was familiar
in
with
passing.
Him. Right, but it wasn't like I was some diehard.
I know who the man is,
yeah.
but you know, I.
Yeah.
You know, I remember
they
being
can
at
hear the
Sundance.
Look on your face.
I remember being at Sundance, and the day that, you know, he died, I was walking into an event that HBO was doing, and I walked in, and Wilson, who runs blackfilm.com, comes up to me. He was like, man, did you hear? And I was like, girl, what are you talking about? And he was like, Kobe just died. I was like, oh.
Okay. And you didn't feel anything about it?
I could feel that other people in the room felt a lot. The energy in the room was different, but it did not affect me personally in the way that it seems to have affected the entire world.
I get that.
And so I say that to say, when I saw the clip that CBS News released on Twitter, I wasn't alarmed by it in any particular way. I didn't feel like it was absurd or out of pocket or any of that. I was like, oh, this is a journalist doing her job.
So for me, I found out Kobe was dead by getting a text message from someone saying, is Kobe dead? And I was like, what?
Because you're the media. You're supposed to know.
Exactly. That actually happens more than you might think. But like, I was like, but I thought they were referencing like his record had fallen the night before to LeBron James. And so I thought that was what it, I was like, dead? And they were like, dead. And so like I Googled Kobe and I was like, oh my God. But it was only one headline, right? Because all of the other headlines were about his record. And so his record being broken by LeBron James the night before. So I saw one headline, I think it was like USA Today or Us Weekly or something, and the article was like literally less than a minute old from publishing. It said like published 23 seconds ago, I think. And so that's how I found out about him passing away, and it kind of like paralyzed me for the rest of the day. I was just like glued to the coverage of it. That's why I say I was surprised by how I responded to it. But then the days go on, and you know, like everyone talked about it a lot for those first days. And then the way I even found out about this Gayle King interview was because of the Snoop Dogg response.
Oh, Jesus.
I heard about Snoop Dogg responding to Gayle King, and I thought she must have said something crazy. So then when I went and saw the clip, I was like, Snoop Dogg was being Snoop Dogg.
Let's listen to he posted a video to his Instagram. Just like
ridiculous. Let's take a listen.
Gayle King. Out of pocket for that shit. Way out of pocket. What do you gain from that? I swear to God, we the worst. We the fucking worst. We expect more from you, Gayle. Don't you hang out with Oprah? Why y'all attacking us? We your people. You ain't coming after fucking Harvey Weinstein asking them dumbass questions. I get sick of y'all. I want to call you one. Is it okay if I call her one? Funky dog head bitch. How dare you try to tarnish my motherfucking homeboy's reputation, punk motherfucker? Respect the family and back off, bitch, before we come get you.
Wow.
I'm not supposed to laugh.
You're not. You're going to hell. It's fine.
I'm not supposed to laugh because he is out of pocket.
Completely.
However, comma.
It is also ridiculous. Like, the wording is like, holy shit. Like,
it's just like so.
It's so much. Over the line. I think it's kind of like when you watch like a movie that is like a really tragic movie, but after you've seen it enough times, it starts to become a comedy. I'm not going to name any of those movies, but you know what I'm talking about. But it was just like, oh my God.
Yes.
Like, it's amazing to me because it was not, I don't know, 6 or 8 months ago that we were all like, that
uplifting
social media
her.
Exactly was going up for Gayle King with this
Robert.
You know, moment, and like going up for her and thinking that she was so good at what she did.
With the R. Kelly interview.
Yes. And so it was amazing to me that like she asked two questions and made two statements, none of which were wrong, none of which were off base. And all of which were, like, within the bounds of the conversation, and this is how people responded to it.
Yeah, I mean, and, like, Bill Bellamy did a video as well.
Jesus.
A couple other, like, prominent folks.
Michael Eric Dyson did a good video.
Michael Eric said
something
really like that. Yes. But a lot of people have been, like, sharing their thoughts. Ari Lennox said, you know, some out-of-pocket things. She then apologized for it eventually. And,
well,
like,
it's important to say Snoop Dogg took this video down.
Yes.
Mind you, he posted photos with Oprah and Harvey Weinstein together.
Yeah.
Also, Gayle King and Harvey Weinstein together. But, like, these photos are super old. I'm like,
they're supposed to, like, show their complicity with the Harvey Weinstein of it all. But you know what? I think it's also important for us to say, you know, first of all, I don't like, you know, comparing anybody to animals, you know, because, like, there's there's a dehumanization of sorts that happens there.
Also, Snoop Dogg literally transforms. But that's into my.
I was just about to say
video.
That.
Oh, yeah.
In his music video, he himself literally transforms into what is it? Oh, I'm about to say a pit bull. I don't know these.
Ever
animals.
Since that video, I've never been able to not see him.
Exactly.
Like a dog.
So it's just really interesting that he called her a dog face. That you know what? But you know, it's also one of those things. Where, like, so I would never want to be on the side of. I would never want to be on the side of Bill Cosby.
Hello?
So, like, Bill Cosby came out and tweeted.
At the end of this post, it said hashtag free Bill Cosby.
Right, right.
Which, wild.
Which we need to talk about and probably will be its own full episode.
We will do a whole episode on Bill Cosby,
R. Kelly,
and
Michael Jackson.
And how those three things are very different.
We've got to. But Bill Cosby tweeted this. I don't know why he tweeted, but how he tweeted.
Ooh, baby, listen.
But he says, it's so sad and disappointing that successful black women are being used to tarnish the image and legacy of successful black men, even in death. Are these people that in need of fame, ratings, and or money? On behalf of myself, Camille, and my family, thank you, thank you, thank you. And he's got a whole host of hashtags. Hashtag thank you, Snoop Dogg. Hashtag bet on black legacy. Hashtag stop tearing down black men. Which, why is holding people accountable for the foolishness that they have committed automatically seen as tearing down?
And even like, even, but I don't even know if in this instance with Gail, it's trying to hold Kobe accountable so much as like asking the question, right? Because part of what
and
I
and also
appreciate,
trying to have a full picture of a person's life,
right? Because what I appreciated about what Gail asked Lisa, the second question she says is it even fair for us to be talking about this?
Right.
It wasn't like we really need to hammer this home, right?
It was.
Is it fair for us to have a discussion about this, or is this in its past and we need to move on? Which I think is a fair question that, at the very least, many of us in media have been asking. But I'm sure that everyday people who are not in media have been having that conversation, too.
Yeah.
And so for Bill Cosby, though, what was crazy to me about his statement, even as I'm reading it again, since we initially put this together, like, you don't care anything about the way that you guys are disparaging this black woman, but you only care about how she disparaged this black man.
Listen, men are trash.
Listen.
Okay. Men are trash. And, you know, I'm thankful that I identify as non-binary and gender non-conforming because...
Because that eliminates you from...
Because I don't know those, that kind, your kind.
Lori, you laughing too hard out there.
But yeah, I mean, we should say that, like, you know, a lot of people came out, like, against, you know, Snoop Dogg's statements. There's been a lot of articles written. Jemele Hill responded to Snoop Dogg, and she said, I love you, bro, but please remember that Bill Cosby also victimized black women. She shouted out Beverly Johnson, who was the first black supermodel, in her compelling account of how Bill Cosby drugged her and tried to rape her. She says that this also was the same dude telling people that black men didn't deserve any respect because they wore their pants too low and listened to hip hop. She says, I'm glad he was able to present a positive picture of a black dad, but he was also very anti-black in other parts of his life. And like, I think even just the way that she kind of puts her thoughts in response to Snoop Dogg is exactly what I think we should be doing with all of these people mm-hmm. who have like disappointed us, or who have like unsavory parts of their past. It's like, you recognize the good and the greatness that they did, but also hold them accountable for whatever foolishness. And so, like I said, there's a number of articles that were written. There's a really great one on The Root. And Essence wrote a really great one about how, you know, you can not agree with Gayle King and not call her a dog-faced bitch.
Listen, I mean, 100% that. Because I felt Jemele did a really good job of clarifying, like, yo, both of these things can be true at the same time.
Yeah.
And like, oh, by the way, Bill Cosby is mad problematic. Like, I just, that really, really sat with me. I sat with that for a long time because I thought Jemele did a really great job. I think also over at The Root, I want to shout out to, I hope I'm not messing up your name, I think it's Maisha Kai, who wrote a really great article. The headline is Where Misplaced Loyalty and Misogynoir Collide on Snoop Cosby and Why Protecting Black Women Always Seems the Last Priority. I thought she did a really great job of summing that up. But I was fascinated by black women's response to this as well.
Mm-hmm.
Jemele Hill obviously had a great response to it. Rashawn Ali, who is one of the hosts on Sister Circle, she had a different response to this. And I want to get into what she had to say.
It is the media's responsibility to be, to have some sort of compassion. I know that they're, you know, people are saying journalistic integrity, but rape allegations, 2003, they've moved past it, yes. It went to trial, everything is settled. This man hasn't even had a proper burial yet. And you thought that was appropriate? Inappropriate on so many levels. And I look up to Gail King, I look up to her for what she has done, but in that moment, I do not believe that her journalism, her journalistic integrity was on the side of right.
So there's a. I'm sorry.
There's so much
there's
there.
There's just so much to break down there. I want to first say, because one of the things that stood out to me first when I heard that clip was, you know, her saying that she like looks up to Gail King. I don't think you can look up to Gail King and look up to what journalism is supposed to be and take issue with what Gail King did.
Yeah,
like there's no way you can say that you look up to Gail King. And
have journalistic integrity yourself.
And have journalistic integrity yourself. We should say Rashaan Ali has a journalism, broadcast journalism degree. Mm-hmm. Because we had to do our research because, you know, I had questions.
You had questions.
I did have questions. Yeah. I didn't know her, Sister Circle. But what? I ain't saying nothing about the Sister Circle. Shout out to what's the Braxton, her co-host,
Trina Braxton,
yeah, and Quad, Miss Quad, Miss Quad. Mm-hmm. Quad. Yeah. Shout out to the people who watch, you know, Medicine for Melancholy. That's not what it's called.
Wow. Married to Medicine.
Married to Medicine. That's what it is.
Medicine for Melancholy was a movie.
Shout out to Barry Jenkins. Yes. Wow. Anyway.
Hello, Tangent. How are you?
It happens. You know. Anyway, so... One, I don't think you can say you look up to Gail King and then have an issue with her journalism. What she's doing is she's being a journalist. She's asking a follow-up question. I know that so many people these days get confused between journalists and TV hosts and correspondents and commentators, but a journalist will ask you a follow-up question. This is not the Ellen DeGeneres show. This is not the Steve Harvey show. You don't get to just come up here and say what you want and not be held accountable, Kevin Hart.
Well,
you gotta have a follow-up question.
Well, and even to that point, like Bill Bellamy's video that he put on Facebook, or I saw it on Facebook. He was talking about, well, you know, I didn't ask, when I interviewed Michael Jackson, I didn't ask him no bullshit ass questions like that. And I'm like, sweetie, that's because you weren't doing your job.
It's because you're,
like,
because he wasn't a journalist. He was a host. He's an actor.
Right. You were sitting there having a fun time with Michael Jackson. You weren't like asking him hard hitting questions.
And to be clear, there's nothing wrong with being the host, doing the Access Hollywood type thing where you just, you know, you want to get your headline clicks. And so you want to talk about, you know, their love for Beyonce or whatever the case be. There's nothing wrong with that. But like Gail King is a journalist.
Yeah.
And I also happen to be a journalist.
Listen.
Okay.
Listen. Journalism, honey. You know what I mean?
I got a degree in
So, like, but this was really clear for me because I was like, the people who are coming for Gail King are people who are not journalists, right? Like,
yes.
People who are journalists look at that interview and are like, I'm sorry you asked a question. Like, you know what I mean? I'm sorry that you're so offended by her asking this very inbound question about his past. It also frustrated me because they talk about Gail King as if she was disparaging his name.
Right.
As if, like, she was dishonoring Kobe Bryant by even mentioning this. And to me, it's like, it's not like she said, well, you know he was a rapist.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's but not, that's how they hear it.
Exactly.
That's how they hear it.
Any mention of it. And, like, her and Snoop Dogg and Bill Bellamy, we have, like, and this is really what we're talking about with Black sensitivity, we have this idea that because you are Black and because you are a journalist, any coverage you do is supposed to protect Black people.
Right.
Which, to be fair and clear, like, I do know that I approach my work from, like, being a Black person, right? Like,
yes.
And you and I have this conversation a lot, but, like, I don't believe there is objectivity in journalism. I think everyone arrives at every story as who they are, and they ask the questions that come from their own perspective.
Right.
I do know that, like, when we're doing a story about a Black or brown person, like, there is a different sensitivity that I have to those issues than I would expect my white counterparts to have. And so I understand
that. But we're not here.
That,
I don't know if you, do you feel like, are you here? Do you feel like as a journalist and who is Black and who is gay, that it is your responsibility to protect Black people, protect the images of Black people, to protect the images of Black queer people?
I don't think it's my job to protect our images. I think it's my job to be honest and provide context for those stories.
Very
right?
That, yes.
So I think that, like, I think part of what does not happen with mainstream journalists and like specifically like white journalists, there's a context that is often missing from stories that colors a story in a different way when it involves a black or brown issue. Mm-hmm. And I feel like black and brown journalists are able to do that in a way that white journalists just can't, right? Yeah. And like, I mean, and I'm sure you've had this happen before in interviews where you'll finish an interview with a black or brown person and they'll say to you, like, I've never had someone ask me questions like that before. Mm-hmm. Yes. Or like, I'm sure that like the perspective that I bring to a conversation is not going to be the same as my white counterparts. And so with Gayle King in this interview, like Gayle King framed that question as like, is it even fair for us to talk about this? But like nobody felt anything about that part.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because it's also one of those things where it feels as if people just think because the case was dismissed that we shouldn't be talking about it. And I'm reminded of, well, first of all, we should say Kobe addressed this after the criminal case was dismissed, before the civil case was, you know, handled.
Clear to say, he said he apologized because we made this distinction with Kevin Hart last
between,
week.
Yes.
Addressing and apologizing,
yes.
Right?
Yes. So I want to read out parts of his statement that he made after the civil case was dismissed. Again, the civil case was dismissed because the woman who was alleging the activity, she didn't want to participate in the trial.
That was the criminal case. The civil case was settled.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
The criminal case, because this apology came after the criminal case.
Mm-hmm.
And she did, and to be clear, people who are, you know, victims of sexual assault often do not want to participate in going through a legal process because sometimes it re-traumatizes them in having to retell and relive whatever took place. I just want to put that out there for the ignorances
that people don't want to have to unpack everything that they went through again in front of an audience of people sitting in front of the person who is accused.
Exactly.
Like,
can be a lot. But anyway, his apology, I'm only going to read parts of it. You can do your Googles and get all of it. But he says, I want to apologize directly to the young woman involved in this incident. I want to apologize to her for my behavior that night and for the consequences she has suffered in the past year. I'm jumping around. He also says, I want to make it clear that I do not question the motives of this young woman. No money has been paid to this woman. Although I truly believe this encounter between us was consensual, I recognize now that she did not and does not view this incident the same way I did. After months of reviewing discovery, listening to her attorney, and even her testimony in person, I now understand how she feels that she did not consent to this encounter. If Kobe Bryant can give us nuance in the acknowledgement of both what he maintains as his innocence, mm-hmm. as well as how this woman experienced the incident, why can't we, on the other end, also have the same nuance as we are discussing and talking about his legacy?
Yeah, I...
Like, people seem to have forgotten that not only did he address it, but like he kind of apologized, which, you know, it's not an admission of guilt. You know, he maintains his innocence throughout it all. But like, I don't know, the fact that he can acknowledge that at least this woman feels like something went awry, mm-hmm. and feels like it wasn't, you know, consensual, makes me think that like we should be able to do the same.
Exactly. So it's also important to say that Gayle King did a video on Twitter. She did two Twitter videos that is about 4 minutes.
Looking
total.
Like somebody's auntie. Her shirt was all disheveled.
Listen, it was pre-hair and makeup. Listen, no shade. She was like, I don't care about all that. I want to come out and say what I need
to say. She had these transition lenses on, it looked like.
Okay, I need you to focus on what we're discussing. And so you literally asked me, are those transitions? And I was like, sis, I don't know. But she said that, you know, she was upset about the clip coming out the way that it was. And she felt that that she would be upset if she was seeing this in the way that everyone else was.
Yes.
As if that were the whole interview. She was like, we had a much longer interview and that contextualized this part of the conversation.
Yeah.
And that she was really upset with CBS social media for having just put out that clip and not ever talking with her about it. Now, to be clear, one of the things about the story and the whole hubbub is every single person involved here was doing their job. Exactly as they were supposed to.
Right.
Gayle was supposed to ask those questions. Lisa was supposed to defend her friend, but the person who on the social media team or the people on the social media team who put out this clip,
right?
They were supposed to put out the most, you know, the most relevant, the most interesting clip
yes,
that people were going to click on, right?
Yeah.
And like, it did its job. It went viral, mm-hmm. not necessarily in a way that they wanted it to, right? Or not that Gail would have wanted it to, but like everyone was doing their job, and so that was an important part of this to me. Is like, it's not like this was like a miscarriage of journalism,
Listen,
you know? Like,
okay.
How dare you do this or say this? So that was something that was important to me. But I think that more than anything, my frustration was that people, number one, came at Gail with such vitriol,
mm-hmm.
and like hearing her say like, I'm sorry that this came out this way, and like I would be upset too, but like nobody had any care for that. Nobody had, or none of the people who are like enraged about this, nobody had any care for the fact that this is a Black woman that we love and respect,
mm-hmm.
and like you can't even have a conversation about her and say it from the perspective of like, I really don't like the way that you did that, like,
yeah.
And I feel like it could have been done better. It's no, you a dog-headed ass bitch, and we're coming for you.
It was just so much. And I also have to say, and it just left my mind.
Well, for me,
I was just thinking of something that I thought was going to be controversial to say, and then it slipped my mind. Y'all, well, I'm getting old like Jared.
Okay, Laura. I can hear you. But part of what was interesting to me also, though, was like, the thing that hurt me is like knowing that Gail ended up having to have 24-hour security with her for
like,
a number of days.
Death threats. Oh, I remember what I was going
to
say.
Ended up having to go out of town. Oprah was on the Today Show talking about Gail hasn't slept in 2 days over this.
And she was crying.
Yeah, right, exactly, yeah.
That's how you know it's real. And it's like, what I was going to say, which I think it relates to all of these death threats that Gail was getting from this, is like, Kobe ain't did shit for none of y'all.
Hello?
You don't know him personally. Like, I could understand, for a lot of these people, right? I could understand if, what's the sister name? What's the wife name? Vanessa?
Vanessa Bryant.
I could understand if Vanessa came out, you know, with some venom and some vitriol.
Your dog-headed bitch.
You know, I could understand.
But I don't think Vanessa would have even, I don't think Kobe or Vanessa would have responded.
Right, but that's my point. I think I would understand if the people, the closest to Kobe, had this vitriol that Gail toward Gail that she's been receiving. I could understand that, because that level of grief when somebody's that close to you, like, it causes you to do some stupid shit, some mm-hmm. crazy stuff, right? I could get that. But all of these people who feel so upset, and you ain't never met Kobe. All you did was see him dunk a basketball every now and again. And you was coming out here and you are using, I don't understand how. And I know we put so much into our celebrities.
We put
so much into, you know, the folks that we love who seem to be like, you know, traversing, you know, all of the odds to succeed and all of that. But this ain't it.
Well,
this ain't it.
I think the sensitivity of it is another part that's so important to really unpack. And I will say, like, when there are stories about Black celebrities who have done something bad, we spoke about R. Kelly mm-hmm. and Bill Cosby and Michael Jackson and whomever else. I still...
Russell Simmons has caught up in some stuff right now.
Right, exactly. His name's been in the headlines lately. In those instances, even when the person is wrong, there is a level of sensitivity that I even have when white folks start talking about them, right? That is maybe unreasonable, and I'm willing to own that, but like, I don't really want to hear what white people have to say about R. Kelly.
Right.
No shade.
Because a lot of the commentary, right, it could easily veer into that racist part.
Exactly. And it's like, whoa, slow down there, buddy.
I feel that. Not this buddy.
But I don't know why I said buddy. But like, I remember when the Jay-Z NFL story happened
mm-hmm.
and like my co-host on the show that I was on at the time wanted to talk about it. And like, I was like, I don't really want to discuss that, because it's one of those things where I'm like, this is an inside conversation about Blackness.
Yeah.
Right. Like, the Jay-Z story was definitely an inside story about Blackness.
Yeah.
And like, the way that people have responded to a lot of these different
stories,
which we
probably need to do an episode on.
We need to do it, definitely.
Because I know you have thoughts. This look, y'all.
Feelings.
This scratch of the back of his head. He just did.
But like, I thought that there was a really great example of kind of breaking down why Black folks respond to this with such sensitivity that came from the Daily Blast's Erica Cobb. She was explaining to her white co-hosts why this was such a challenge for a lot of Black folks. Mm-hmm. This is what she had to say.
In order to really have a conversation about why this has been such a big story, if we have to talk about what was happening in 2003 when Kobe was first accused of rape. There were two different Americas. We had white households whose parents were telling their white daughters to beware of Kobe's in the wake of O.J. Simpson. We had Black households who were telling their kids about the story of Emmett Till, the 14-year-old Black boy who was killed in Mississippi for allegedly whistling at a white woman in 1955, and we later learned that that wasn't the truth. So when we have these two very different conversations happening, we see this Kobe Bryant situation very differently. We have some people who see a Black man who got away with raping a white woman. Some of us see a Black man who was accused of raping a white woman and did something that was historically daunting. He not only got past these allegations and moved on with his life, but he went on to be great and inspire a lot of people. Some people will see his apology as an admission of guilt. Some of us see his apology as fighting for his life.
So I thought that it's funny because I hadn't even thought about all of the context that she provided there, but I thought that she did a really good job of laying out like these kinds of stories for us, whether it's Kobe Bryant, whether it's, you know, Bill Cosby, whether it's Michael Jackson, not so much R. Kelly, but like, I mean, but even still, like, right, sexual allegations against Black men are mm-hmm. something that have a long history in America.
Yeah.
And this culture. And so, like, hearing her lay it out that way, I was really grateful for her to lay that out for people to be able to have a different piece of context on why Black people respond in the way we do.
I think
not that it fully works, but I like think that I appreciate
the historical context of the whole Emmett Till situation, and you know, just the different perspective that you know some Black people have on these types of situations. Cool, cute, go for it. Understand why she felt it necessary to provide that context. That being said, if you listen to that, if y'all take a look and take a listen to that entire full clip, we just gave you a little bit of teaser of it. Like, I don't agree with what she's saying. Because she makes it seem as if, and part of her statement that, like, Gayle King made a mistake.
I disagree with.
As if, you know, Gayle King should not have asked the question. And I just don't agree with that. And I also think that we have this interesting sensitivity as Black folks to our celebrities and all of that. But like, one of the things that popped in my mind as we were thinking about doing this story was like, when Don Imus died a few weeks ago, everybody was very upset that the initial obituaries that were written about him did not mention that he called that, you know, Black women's basketball team nappy-headed hoes.
Yeah.
Right? And so if you can want Don Imus to be remembered in his full self, why can't you also, you know, see the same and do the same for Kobe Bryant?
No, I get that. But like, also, I think the other side of it, number one, I don't think that Gayle King made a mistake in the way that she asked these questions. I think we've established that. I think that Erica did a great job of giving white folks a perspective on why we're so sensitive about these conversations and what that context is that informs that. I do feel like the Don Imus analogy is interesting because like it wasn't included, and like white folks get a reprieve in a way that Black folks don't, right? Like,
yes,
exactly.
Yes,
and so like white folks will, well, oh, he was so fantastic. I mean, mind you, do I need to remind you that Rush Limbaugh literally got the Presidential Medal of Freedom last week?
Right.
You know what I mean? And so, but like has said all kinds of racist things about plenty of people. And so, yes, there is a grace that is given to white people that is not given to Black folks.
But I would assert that just because there is a grace given to white people does not mean that we should be giving grace to our black folks.
Right. What nobody should be doing.
Right. Nobody should be giving grace, and we should be remembering all of our folks for their fullness. When I die, I want you all to know
Do
me for
worry.
My amazingness as well as my trash.
Listen, okay? I have all the receipts.
Not too much over there.
I have emails and text messages.
But like, I just think it's just like super. I think it is a betrayal of a person's life and their legacy, and the fact that Kobe, because I think this is a point that a lot of people are making, like Kobe changed his life. He put a lot into women's basketball. That's why she was one of the reasons why Gayle King was interviewing Lisa Leslie. You know, with his daughter Gianna, who also died in the helicopter crash, along with I think it's 7 other people, who some of the kids who were on her basketball team. He's done all these great, amazing things. He won an Oscar a couple years ago, right?
Last year for his
animated short. And so, like, he's done all these great things since this situation in 2003. But in my mind, how can you uplift all of that great stuff he's done since 2003 without mentioning, at minimum, perhaps the thing that might have been the catalyst for said change?
Absolutely, right? Because, like, there is all this conversation about both of his jerseys having been retired. Like, he changed his number after he had gone through this really trying time
because
it was a renewal for him. Yes, they talked a good amount about, like, him changing his number, in the aftermath of wanting to be, like, kind of a new person and wanting to represent something different. And so it's just interesting to me that, like, we have these conversations, and we even have this conversation about Harvey Weinstein, right? Because, like, Snoop Dogg in his initial video was like, were you asking these questions about Harvey Weinstein? I'm like, everybody's been asking these questions about
Harvey
Weinstein.
He's literally
in court
in trial
right now. Like, nobody has been like, oh, but Harvey was such a sweet guy. He doesn't deserve, like, I haven't seen that anywhere. You know what I mean?
And those photos that he posted of Oprah and Gayle with Harvey Weinstein doesn't tell me they were complicit. I know you want us to think that they were complicit in his foolishness.
Well, because he acts like these photos are from last month, right? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
The photo of Gayle is so old.
And you can tell.
Like, listen, honey, this photo looks like a solid 2001. You know what I mean?
At minimum.
And
it's also like, as a celebrity, have you not been pulled? I mean, I'm not saying this was the case with those particular photos, but like, have you not been pulled into photos with people that you don't know? Or people that you just met who you don't know, whatever, like, seedy activities that they might be involved with?
I will say, like, I have been pulled into photos,
exactly.
And I'm not a celebrity, right? Like,
exactly. I am a celebrity, so.
Before we wrap up this topic, we want to know your thoughts on this one. You can tweet us at Fanti Podcast or find us on Instagram at Fanti Podcast. Make sure to let us know what you think, and we might include your feedback in next week's episode. Ooh, so glad I could get him to stop talking.
I hate you so much. We're going to give you all a little bit of the feedback that we got from last week's episode. As you know, and if you don't know, you need to go check out the first episode. Last week's episode was about Kevin Hart and all of the foolishness around that particular individual. I just wanted to highlight a couple people who, you know, it was our very first episode, and they just want to give us kudos.
Okay.
You know, they just, okay. You know, there was, he goes by Prince Charming on Twitter. I actually forget his real name. He's going to kill me because I know him.
Oh.
But he said this is friendly. Okay. You know, I'm very iffy about that F word.
Uh-oh.
I don't throw that around. But he said, this is what I signed up for. Just simple,
yes.
Straightforward. This is what I signed up for. Okay, we're giving y'all that nuance that you're not getting on your Twitter timeline. And so, yeah, I mean, I just think it's something you were on CNN International talking about the show, talking about Miss Jamila Jamil.
Yes.
What type of feedback did you get from the show?
It was really awesome. Like, it worked out that day that I happened to be on CNN International the day we launched, so it worked out. Which. Maybe a part of why I wanted to highlight, like, we had listeners listening in Africa, what looks like South Africa and West Africa. So hello to you that are listening out there. We had people throughout Europe that were listening. And, like, I was kind of taken aback by, like, how much love and attention the show got from people around the world. So
as it
hello.
Should.
Yeah.
As it should. Again, we want to know your feedback on this episode, on past episodes. Feel free to tweet us at the show at Fantai Podcast, or you can hit us up individually.
There's
that
a lot
way
of
we can give you
Australia.
A little give you a little shout out on this show. Because we want this to be a conversation with you all. We don't just want to run our mouths, although I love running my mouth.
Do you? We'll be right back.
We're going to take a quick break, then we'll be back with our dishonorable and honorable mentions.
Judge John Hodgman ruled in my favor.
Judge John Hodgman ruled in my friend's favor.
Judge John Hodgman ruled in my favor.
I'm Judge John Hodgman. You're hearing the voices of real litigants, real people who have submitted disputes to my internet court at the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I hear their cases, I ask them questions, they're good ones, and then I tell them who's right and who's wrong.
Thanks to Judge John Hodgman's ruling, my dad has been forced to retire one of the worst dad jokes of all time.
Instead of cutting his own hair with a Flowbee, my husband has his hair cut professionally.
I have to join a community theater group.
And my wife has stopped bringing home wild animals.
It's the Judge John Hodgman podcast. Find it every Wednesday at MaximumFun.org or wherever you download podcasts.
Thanks, Judge John Hodgman.
Welcome back, and now it's time for our dishonorable mentions.
Can I start?
Go ahead on.
Me asking for permission. Wow.
Wow.
We call that growth. I want to give a quick honorable mention to Stephanie Allaine. Stephanie Allaine was one of the co-producers of the Oscars this year. She's the first black woman to co-produce the Oscars. And so I just want to give her a shout out. She's a producer of a number of your favorite black films. The one that comes to mind is Dear White People. She was a producer of the film version of that. But she's really amazing, fabulous woman in the industry. Just wanted to give her a quick shout out.
I want to give a shout out to the late, great Bayard Rustin. He was a civil rights leader that was arrested for having sex with men. 67 years later, he was pardoned by the state of California. So also a little bit of a shout out to our governor, Gavin Newsom, for that. But more of a shout out to Bayard Rustin, because we love you and appreciate the work that you did for the community.
I'm giving a quick, maybe not so quick, so y'all got to bear with me, dishonorable mention to a man by the name of Dr. William Bynum Jr. Uh-oh. In case you've never heard of this name, he was the president of Jackson State University who resigned Monday after being arrested during a prostitution sting.
What?
A total of 16 arrests were made, with multiple charges for those folks spanning prostitution, procuring a service of prostitute, promoting prostitution, conspiracy to promote prostitution, various controlled substances violations, all of that. But according to some reports, Bynum was allegedly soliciting the services of a male sex worker, which is ironic to me.
Uh-oh.
Because he was the vice president of student services at Morehouse College while I was a student.
Oh.
He was one of the main people. We'll do a whole episode maybe on all of this, but he was one of the main people who was just supremely antagonistic toward the queer students on campus, of which one of I was,
of course he was,
in terms of our socio-political organizing, trying to get the college to remove that foolish appropriate attire policy. He literally made our lives living hell on that campus. And so, in the words of the one and only Monique.
See, when you do clownery, the clown comes back to bite.
And there it is then.
I don't know how I feel about the word clownery or clowns biting, but sure, girl.
Clowns got teeth.
But, I mean, it's not like a vampire joke. Whatever. I think that's weird. Sure. You know, there was a study. I always love to call this out.
Oh,
but there
Jesus.
Was a study that said they did an analysis of like homophobia in individuals. And they said that the people who are the most homophobic tend to be gay.
Well, I mean, you could also look at all of these like pastors from the South.
Absolutely.
That like you end up finding that,
my
you know.
My former pastor.
Ugh,
looking
you
at
do
you.
It.
May you rest, Eddie Long. All right. My dishonorable mention goes to the internet for the Broom Challenge. On Monday and also on Tuesday, so many people were making their brooms stand up because NASA had told them that today was the only day that if you tried this with your broom would stand because of the way the Earth's gravitational pull was set up. And I was like,
but did you try it though?
Sis, what? No, because I immediately thought this was stupid.
Do you have a broom?
Yes.
Okay, because I thought you'd be like, I got a Swiffer.
Well, because I had made my broom stand up like multiple times before, and I was like, this sounds dumb as hell. Oh. And so then I Googled NASA broom, and like the first headline that came up was like, the NASA broom hoax. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they had an article talking about how NASA has said nothing about this, and this was ridiculous.
I was like, I tried to make my broom, you know, stand up, but it wouldn't stand up, so I think it was just like dirty.
One of my friends on Instagram had done an Insta story about it, and I was like, sweetie, you know this is not a thing. He was embarrassed.
Whatever. I want to give my final honorable mention today to the one and only Zaya Wade. If you don't know this name, you need to get to know it. They are Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wayne's Dwayne Wade. Wade, first, not Dwayne Wayne.
Dwayne Wayne is from a different world. A different world.
Literally. Dwayne Wade's child, who Dwayne, he shared in an interview earlier today, actually, with Ellen DeGeneres, that she is now using she as a pronoun. The child was assigned male at birth. I love seeing, you know, non-cis kids, because we don't know if Zaya identifies as trans or non-binary or anything like that. But I just love seeing young non-cis kids being supported by their families, and the fact that this is a prominent Black family
from a sports background,
background is just like really, really amazing to see.
I'm just really, really happy in my mind. Mind you, I don't know the Wade Unions, and like, I don't know their relationship.
I've interviewed Gabrielle Union before,
but you don't know the Wade Unions either.
No,
and so
but I interviewed her before,
right? But my point is, like, in my mind, had Gabrielle not met and married Dwayne, this probably would not have worked out so well for this child.
Very much so.
And so it just makes me feel great for Zaya.
For that, he said in the interview with Ellen that Gabrielle Union, you know, reached out to the cast of Pose for, you know, support and understanding and, you know, to help them like equip themselves with like the education they needed to do what they needed to do to be, you know, great supportive parents. So shout out to them.
We love to see it. All right, my final dishonorable mention is to this entire Jesse Smollett, Chicago Police Department and Chicago prosecutor story. As we are in the studio within, you know, today we've gotten headlines that they have indicted him. I believe it's on 6 counts for this. I am so tired of this story. Like, the idea that, like, the President of the United States got away with what the President of the United States got away with. But, like, we're still even discussing this right now. It is exhausting.
We're gonna have to do an episode on Jesse and this whole situation. I feel like I feel like we have to. I'm gonna leave it at that. That's the end of our show.
I don't know if I have it in my spirit. I don't know if I have it in my bank account. Ooh. I don't know if I have it in my cupboards. I don't know.
Not your cupboards. That's how you know he old, y'all. Cupboards.
I don't know. First of all, I don't think I've ever said cupboards. But like, I don't know where I have it in me to even discuss that story. Like, I'm going to have to really be prayed up.
We'll talk it over off the air.
Praise the Lord.
That's the end of our episode. Our second episode of Fanti. Thank you all so much for joining us. If you like what's going on here, okay, we need you to subscribe. And then we also need you to tell your mama and your daddy and your sister, brother, Niam.
Me and you, your mama and your cousin, too.
That part.
Shout out to Jay Jones, who left us a review that says, Fanti is, quote, funny, insightful, real as fuck, equally lighthearted, and seriously thoughtful. Love this. Shout out to you, Jay. We really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yes. We also had one that comes from Weather Ivy saying, this is my new go-to. Still processing meets the nod. Rest in peace. Bravo. That was from Weather.
I love that comparison.
I do too, yeah.
Love both of those shows.
Yes.
Shout out to us. And shout out to you, Weather. Is it Ivy? Weather. It's Weather.Lee.
I think it's Weatherly, yes.
Weatherly. Shout out to you, Weatherly. We need y'all to tell the people about the show, okay? Because your reviews are great, but, you know, they tell us that word of mouth is the best way to get the word out about the new show.
That's what these fabulous people at Maximum Fun have been telling us. So we really appreciate it. Want to make sure that you all Make sure to comment. Also, want to shout out to the folks at Stitcher that highlighted Fantai as one of their top picks, along with Chris Matthews' new podcast called So You Want to Be President for NBC News.
Interesting.
He, you know, he don't need any help promoting his show. He got MSNBC.
We
have you, and we have word of mouth, and we really appreciate it. So if you have a comment or suggestion about this week's show, make sure to tweet us at Fantai Podcast, or you can do the same thing on Instagram at Fantai Podcast, or you can send us an email at Fantai@MaximumFun.org. That's Fantai@MaximumFun.org.
You can find us individually. I'm at Travell Anderson on Twitter, at Rayzhon, R-A-Y-Z-H-O-N on the Instas.
And I am at Jarrett Hill, 2 R's and 2 T's on all of the social medias. Shout out to our producer, Laura Swisher. This is a production of Maximum Fun.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.